Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with Casey Holland. She is the Director of Communications and Public Relations for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. And Casey, you're going to bust a few energy efficiency myths for me today, I understand.
Yes, I'm excited. So there's lots of things that maybe your parents told you or your grandma told you that you should do to save energy or to keep your house comfortable. And those might not be the best things to do. And we want to help our members to be energy efficient. So probably the biggest myth is that we're not so focused on your payment. I mean, you need to pay your electric bill, but our primary focus is to help you be energy efficient. We want you to consume less energy and to be wise with the energy that you're using. So that's why we want to talk about these myth busters.
Well, the first one that I have here on my list is a huge argument between my husband and I about whether or not when we leave the house during the day, should we turn the thermostat down or up depending on the season and then adjust it when we come back into the house. He says one thing and I say another. I'm not going to tell you which is which. I'm just going to tell you, have you tell me the right way, and then I'll go home and tell him he's wrong.
So ideally, we would love for everybody to have a programmable thermostat. And if you have a programmable thermostat, then we would recommend that you choose a comfortable temperature, and we have some temperature settings that we recommend. In the summertime, we recommend 78 degrees or higher. For a lot of people, that's too warm, and we understand. So if that is the case, then we encourage you to choose a temperature that is comfortable for your home and set that temperature for when you're going to be home. If you are going to be away, we do encourage you to adjust your thermostat to a higher temperature setting in the summer. And then when you come home, to adjust it back down 2 degrees at a time. So if you don't have a programmable thermostat, then you would have to manually do that. And we tell you to only do two degrees at a time so that you don't overwork your heating or cooling system. If you had a programmable thermostat, the great thing about the Nest thermostats or the Ecobee thermostats, for example, are that you can program those settings and you don't have to think about it all the time, and it does the work for you. And it even will do it so that you, let's say you're getting home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it will start to adjust that temperature down so that when you get home, it is at your comfortable setting. So that's really important. And the technology that's out there today makes it very user-friendly for folks to have a programmable thermostat. And if you didn't have it set or you maybe forgot to adjust something or to program it, then the features and the functions are accessible to you through apps that are now on mobile devices. So the first thing would be get a programmable thermostat. It's worth the investment. It'll save you a lot of money on your electric bill in the long run. But if you don't, then you should choose a temperature that's comfortable in your home. When you're away, increase the temperature. And when you get home, decrease it back down to your comfort level 2 degrees at a time.
And sometimes people will even adjust them at night. It's not even when you're gone during the day, is that people like to have it be a little bit warmer or a little bit cooler when they're sleeping at night.
Right. Yeah. I'm one of those people that has to have a cold house when I'm asleep.
You but, and my husband are the same thing.
Yeah. So, but if you're not one of those people, then we do encourage you to adjust the temperature to be a little bit warmer. And in the wintertime, to be a little bit cooler. You can, in the wintertime, adjust a little bit better by adding blankets or layers of clothing. In the summer, when it's hot, it's a little bit harder.
So what about ceiling fans? Because I hear a lot about, oh, you should have a ceiling fan in. Explain to me, are they energy efficient at all?
Well, ceiling fans cool people, not rooms. My husband prefers to leave all the ceiling fans on all the time. And since I've been working at the co-op, I go behind him and constantly turn them off because we're just wasting energy. A ceiling fan works so that when a person is in that room, it makes the person feel cooler because it's pushing the air down and they feel that feeling. It does not keep the temperature in that room cooler when someone's not in the room. It might help to circulate the air, but really, essentially, you're just wasting energy and it's costing you more in the long run. So if you do have ceiling fans and you do want to have your ceiling fan on, use it when you're in the room or when other people are in the room. But when you leave, turn the ceiling fan off to help save energy.
My husband's that way at night. He has to have a fan on when he goes to bed at night. So what I do is kind of like what you do is after he falls asleep, our fan has a timer.
Oh,
so I'll go over and I'll hit the timer because the noise makes me crazy. I'm one of those people, I like it to be quiet when I'm sleeping. So I'll go in and say, okay, fan, turn off in 2 hours, because by then he's asleep and he doesn't realize the fan's on. And then I'll wake up in the morning and it's back on because he's gotten up in the middle of the night and turned it back
on. Yeah, I would have done the same thing. But you're not wasting, because you guys are in the room and he can feel the temperature adjustment for it's cooling him. But if you guys were not in the room, I wouldn't leave the ceiling fan on all night or while you're away at work.
What about closing doors to particular rooms that you're not using in a season?
Right. My grandparents are famous for that. And they just got a central AC unit. And so they've had to readjust 80 years of living. But really, that makes your system work harder and can be inefficient for you. So if you have a central heating and cooling system, do not close doors off to rooms and do not close the vents, because that is causing your system to work harder than it has to and increasing your electric cost.
See, and logically, you wouldn't think so, because I am one of those people. My son moved out a couple of months ago, and so I close the vents in his bedroom and I keep the door closed because we're not in there very often anymore, thinking it'll redirect the air to the other rooms, but that's not necessarily the
case. Yeah, and this really comes from the days before central heating and cooling systems, because it was a practice to do and it made sense then. But now that almost everybody has a central heating and cooling HVAC system, you really should not do that, because it's going to cost you more and it's going to make your system work harder and potentially cause you to have to replace it sooner than you would want to normally.
So I'm going to open those doors and the vents as soon as I get home today, I promise. But speaking of my son, he played his PlayStation all of the time when he lived with us. Does it use more power? Do they use more power than, say, any other appliance?
Yes. So my kids will lock themselves in their bedroom and they like to be in their room with the door shut so they can have privacy. But when I go in there, that gaming system and having that door closed has caused their room to be a much hotter temperature than the rest of our house. And if you leave the gaming system just plugged in, it's continuing to use electricity even when it's not being played. And the way that they've advanced the technology for gaming systems like an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4 so that it has this magnificent visuals for the kids who are playing, it's really going to cost you. And so what I do and what I encourage everybody to do, if your kids are not playing, or if you're a gamer too and you're not playing, unplug your gaming devices, because it's wasting electricity. We call that an energy vampire.
Yes.
So we don't want that energy vampire to suck unnecessary energy and then cost you more in the long run. So definitely unplug them. And the other things in homes now, especially in rural areas that don't have the ability to stream Hulu or Netflix, a lot of families still utilize DirecTV and Dish networks, those type of systems. And they have continued to advance their technology as well. So the new systems that they install also use electricity even after you have powered your television or your cable boxes down. So I would recommend that you unplug them. And I know that can cause a disadvantage for people who depend on the...
I got a TiVo stuff in the middle of the day.
Right. But you, if you want to save electricity, then unplug those devices as well. Even, you know, especially at night when you really probably aren't recording anything. That's what we do.
Well, and in a lot of cases, people have multiple boxes. So you can unplug all the boxes that you know you're not using, leave one of them on that will catch whatever you're trying to record, and you've still saved some money and been able to record.
Absolutely. And these are things that a lot of people wouldn't think about. I mean, you just go through your regular everyday life and you don't realize all of the energy devices in your home that are using electricity even when you're not using them. And so it's important to just take a couple extra steps. If you have timers, like you mentioned, that's really, really cool that you have one on your ceiling fan, but you can get timing devices for power strips or other electronics
and all kinds of things. Yeah.
Right.
And that, and light bulbs is one of the things that Lewis had explained to me in a previous thing, that they have come so far in technology. I remember growing up, turn the light off. Do you think you own the power company? That's not nearly the power suck anymore that a lot of people used to think that it was.
Right. So majority of families probably have already switched from the old incandescent light bulbs, and probably some people are still using CFLs, but we really encourage you now to replace all of your bulbs and install LEDs. They are the most energy efficient and they last
a long time,
a very long time. So do that if you haven't already. And, you know, we've been talking about technology and gaming systems. And while some technology does, like gaming systems, does increase your energy use, there are some technologies that have been adapted and are really energy efficient, like smart TVs. So if you have a smart TV, then you are being energy efficient because they're designed with that purpose in mind.
Oh. The other cool thing that I have learned too from doing this series is I can monitor all of this stuff from the Smart Hub app on my phone, right?
Right. In MyRC Smart Hub, there's a feature called My Usage. And a lot of people really don't know how much electricity they're using until they start to track it using the My Usage tool. And this is a free tool available to any Rappahannock Electric Cooperative member. So if a member does not already have a MyRC Smart Hub account, it's super easy for them to create one. You just go online to myrec.smarthub.coop and use your account number to create your online profile. You'll get an email to validate your account. So you'll want to make sure you use an email that you are actually using. But then you can go right into the tool. You can not only see your current electric bill when it's due, but if you go to the My Usage section, there are a lot of different charts and information. You can track your energy use hourly. You can track your energy use on a daily basis. You can compare your energy use from month to month. And it's sometimes really beneficial for people to track their energy use year over year. So if you want to estimate how much your electric bill might be in August, for example, you could look back at your previous August electric bill to get an idea of how much electricity you used that month. And most likely, you can probably remember things that you did in your house during that time. Maybe you set your thermostat to a really low temperature for the dog days of summer, and that might motivate you to bump it up a couple of degrees to help save energy. So it's incredibly useful. And another great benefit of that tool is sometimes it will identify a problem that is in your home that you might not have realized you even had. So your HVAC system could potentially be working harder because of a problem in that. And if you see a continuous spike in your energy use, it could help you identify that. Sometimes there will be an issue with a water heater. Your water heater could be leaking. And so in addition to this My Usage tool, we have energy experts on staff. Lewis O'Berry has come quite a few times to talk to you about energy efficiency. And we have another energy expert named Rich Mialki. They will not only talk through your energy use with you by phone, but if a member needed, they would come to your home, do a walkthrough, and help you really hone in on the specific things in your home that you need to do to make it more or the most energy efficient possible. I would highly recommend to all of our members to start using the MyRC Smart Hub online account. And it's also available as a mobile app. You have to create your account online on the website first. But once you create that account, you can download the mobile app and you can do almost everything from the mobile app that you can do from the web portal.
I think I have paid my bill. I have checked my energy usage. I have reported an outage. I have checked to see when the outage is not going to be an outage anymore. You're right. And I've gone in. You even have tips and tricks and news releases and all sorts of things in that app.
Right. We try to make it our members' go-to resource for information about their electricity, about their electric account. And we also try to keep them informed about the most important things that are happening around the co-op or in their community. So I would highly recommend everybody. We have almost half of our members actually are using MyRC Smart Hub, and we're excited about that. But we really want to motivate the other half of our membership to start using it.
Fantastic. Well, Casey, thanks for coming to hang out with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I always love coming.